Hebrews 13, verses 1 through 4. How should we hear these words?
Very carefully.
Why?
Because they're God's words.
Hebrews 13, verses 1 through 4. Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. This is the word of the Lord. So what kind of love does he command to continue first?
Brotherly
love. So whom is he talking about? Just the other people that your mom gave birth to? No. Okay, the members of his family. This is one of the reasons why church membership is important, and keeping accurate roles and exercising church discipline. You need to know with whom you have to obey this command. Let brotherly love continue. You do not owe brotherly love of the kind that is commanded of other Christians. You do not owe that to strangers. Yes, you love your neighbor as yourself. But this brotherly love is the love that Jesus commanded in John 13. When he said, love one another, not as yourselves, but love one another as... That's right, Chris. Thank you. As I have loved you. I want to know whom the Lord has commanded me to love with that kind of love. So it is good that we keep good and clear records of church membership and know to whom we should extend that. That's an important point from the text that we didn't make in the sermon yesterday, and then someone from the church asked me afterward about someone that they weren't sure how to treat them. So good. Let brotherly love continue. And then do not forget to, and does anyone remember what the words translated to entertain strangers here actually says? Do not let Philadelphia continue, verse 1, love of brothers. Do not forget Philoxenia, verse 2. What is that? Love of stranger, right? So it's not just do not forget to entertain strangers, by which New King James means exercise hospitality. But do not forget the love of strangers, the love of foreigners, the love of outsiders. For by so doing, some have unwittingly, not knowing that they were, that's what that means, entertained angels, given hospitality to angels. Whether that means angels, like those whose nature is not human, but of an angel, or whether that's using the word angel more generically and meaning messengers. Remember, we heard in the sermon yesterday who the angels of the churches and the seven churches of Asia in the beginning of Revelation, to whom did that refer? Referred to their preachers, right? Messengers. But you never know what special visitor from God he will send you, whom you don't know who they are because they're an outsider. But you do have this in common with them. You know, unbelievers aren't going to be angels. Right? So, yes, we should love the outsider generally, but there is a special love that we give to all Christians everywhere. And as we find that someone is in Christ, our connection with them should grow very quickly. So we just show a special love to the people in our congregation. What are some ways we do that? One very important one is you show up for church. You do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as we heard in chapter 10. But another way, verse 3, remember the prisoners as if chained with them. Particularly these prisoners are ones who have been mistreated. And then the since, or because, you yourselves are in the body also. We all suffer as long as we are in the body. And there are those who suffer because they're treated unjustly, and there are those who suffer more than we are, or who are suffering more than we are. And we are to have an eye to that, to recognize whether someone's suffering is greater than ours physically, or perhaps is greater than ours for the fact that they're being treated wrongly, as verse 3 says. So this is one of the things that we do in our love. We keep our eye out and our mind on, we keep our eye out for and our mind on the other people of the congregation. It's a love that overcomes obstacles and recognizes opportunities. Okay. Then verse 4, there's a special category, even within the local church, very important love that is going to be the basis of the love within the church, and from which the Lord is going to produce more of his family, and that is marriage love. For the church to be healthy, for people who love the way that verses 1 through 3 are described, for the growth of God's family, as the worship has been described as a gathering of God's family throughout the book. And now we're talking about the increase of God's family. So for many reasons, God has given marriage. He tells us in Scripture that one of the purposes of marriage is to produce a holy seed. Does he mean like consecrated cilantro seeds? No, who are the holy seed for which he has given marriage? Christian children. You guys are holy seed. That's why we baptized you. Because God commanded it, because he says, 1 Corinthians 7, your children are holy. He didn't just invent that in 1 Corinthians 7. It's something he had already taught throughout Scripture. Okay, so marriage is very important. Marriage love needs to be guarded. First, marriage is honorable among all. There are some fools who think singleness is better than marriage. There's some of those in every generation. There even some of those during the time of the New Testament. He says, no, marriage should be held in honor. God created it. God made it even in the garden before the fall. The Lord Jesus performed his first public miracle at a wedding and taught much on marriage. Marriage should be honored. It's a good thing, something to be prepared for, something to be maintained, desired, guarded, admired. We should protect one another's marriages as well by being careful in our relationships. So marriage is honorable among all. That's one way that he says preserve and protect marriage. Second, the bed, the marriage bed, must be undefiled, must be kept pure. This, of course, is one of the great concerns in all of the instruction in the Bible about morality, how we are to live our lives. It's the concern of the seventh commandment. You shall not commit adultery. So not only is marriage honored, and not only is there much teaching throughout Scripture on keeping the bed pure, this teaching also comes in the third place, verse 4, with a warning, but fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. This means God will punish, and even God will condemn. That if someone arrives at the judgment and they still have as their identity that they are a fornicator, or they still have as their identity that they are an adulterer, that they will perish in their sin. God will send them to hell. This is very severing. God hates fornication and adultery, which is acting as husband and wife with someone who isn't your husband and wife, either before you've ever been married or even while you're married to someone else. God hates that, and he will punish it. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says of these things, you used to be like that, but God saved you and he cleaned you, and you are not that anymore. That is not your identity now. So, how do we respond to the family meetings in which God gathers us to himself on the Lord's days? By loving his church, loving especially the members of our church, I hope well, loving outsiders, wanting to extend hospitality. You're going to be extending some hospitality to some people we know on Friday, but they're not from Hopewell. They are believers. So there's a special opportunity there. Loving outsiders, that does include your neighbor, not just other believers who are from outside our church. Loving those who are suffering. For instance, perhaps, you know, we've got our friend's mom who has been so sick lately and now has a kidney stone. And you have other friends whose grandma's dying. And you remember Pastor Brunson, who for almost 2 years now has been unjustly imprisoned in a church in Turkey. And many, many believers in North Korea who are not just in prison, but they put them in hard labor camps and they don't give them good food, proper food or medicine, and they die very quickly. Lots of people for us to keep remembering. And then as you prepare for marriage by seeking to be the young man, the young woman that God has called you to be in your word, you can be praying for the person who is your future spouse. You should be praying for all the people in our church that their marriages be strong. You should be wanting mom and dad to continue to love and serve one another and to have time to spend together. Lots of different things you can be doing right now. Another thing very important, that you guard your eyes and guard your heart on the question or on the issue of modesty. That you guard your heart not just through your eyes, but also through your mind. That you don't spend too much focus of your time, too much focus of your attention on, you know, a particular boy or a particular girl at this stage in your lives. But that you keep your focus before the Lord on the one that you don't even know yet. who is going to end up being your husband or your wife as a gift from him, and marriage is a great gift for him. Well, let's ask him to bless these verses to us. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you have given us such plain instruction about some of the priorities that we are to have in our daily life. We pray that you would help us to love the other members of the church and to keep in mind, particularly those in hard situations or in situations where they've been treated wrongly. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to love outsiders, love neighbors, love everyone with whom we come into contact, so that especially when we find that you have brought us, made us to connect with another believer, that we would be eager to share with them what we have, if we are able to be a blessing to them in that way. We pray, Lord, that you would help me and Heather in our marriage to continue to love one another and serve one another in the way that you describe in your word for a husband and wife. Pray that you would guard us and keep us from sinning against our marriage. We pray, Lord, for the church in general and for our nation, where marriage is under such great attack. Lord, that you would bring reformation and destroy the work of the devil, and that you would convert many so that their marriages come into service and obedience of the Lord Jesus. Thank you again for your word. We pray that you would do your work in us by it. For we ask it in Jesus' name, and your children here say, Amen.